Are you ready?
Massacre.
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 Don't you love it?
Yes, it's that all too familiar feeling. That's right, Massacre Radio is back. Rocking your sound system and banging those tweeters on this, let me check my notes here. I had it written down. Oh yeah, episode 37. I, of course, am your host, Members Only Dave. And I gotta say, I did not plan on being gone for about a month here, but nevertheless, it's great to be back in the big chair. And speaking of big chairs, how about this? We have one hell of a guest to kick off our season 4 premiere. That's right, today I'm joined by rapper Blaze Ya Dead Homie. He was nice enough to make time and join me on today's program. Very excited about that. And hey, enough jibba jabba out of me. We might as well get right into it. It's Massacre Radio, baby. Come on!
You're listening to Massacre Radio.
Oh, thank God. I've been waiting to see you all day. Come here. Now I'm ready to drive.
Better luck next time, pal.
They may get me, but they'll never get my bomb.
Massacre Radio.
Yeah, you're listening to WKMA Cleveland, an HD2 station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Massacre Radio on WKMA Cleveland and HD2 Station. And joining me now on the Massacre Radio hotline, which you too can call at 440-941-8585. He's an over 20-year veteran in the rap game from Mount Clemens, Michigan. It's none other than Blaze Ya Dead Homie. Blaze, welcome to the program, man. Thank you for your time. How you doing today?
Excellent, man. Glad to be here. Just doing it, you know?
Hey, absolutely. I know I don't have much time with you here today, so let's go ahead and get down to it. Tell us what you've been up to lately. I know you recently did the 420 Wicked Weekend. How did that go for you?
Oh, it was awesome. I was talking to you a little bit before we popped in. Basically, I was out for the 419, working most of the day that day. And then the 20th, I just had some VIP stuff to do, so I was, you know, meeting a bunch of people, greeting a bunch of people, taking pictures and whatnot, and then after that, it was nothing but smoke sailing for me all the way through the evening.
So other than performing, how is 420 any different for you from any other day? Did you smoke more than you typically would or something? How did that all shake out for you?
It's not much different, if you can believe this. I mean, I smoke every single day, I believe. I can actually count on my hand how many times I've stopped smoking. And probably since I began smoking years ago, I think it's more of a celebration of actually the freedom of being able to smoke and buy stuff freely. Because I was out in Worcester this time, and I actually went out there and hit one of the smoke shops. And that's like the main thing to do, especially when you're out there. It's your right and your freedom. You got to go out there and explore that stuff. You know, being in Ohio now, it's like, I know we just did this, but it was on the ballot, and I went out there and I voted for this, and this is the thing. So, I mean, you know, it's the same thing, legalizing it here so we can get the same thing going on up in Michigan that we did, you know, 10 years ago when I was still living up that way.
Oh, wait, so you mean to tell me you're actually living in Ohio right now and you voted on the rec weed thing too?
Yes, sir, you know this.
I take it you're closer to the Toledo area then, huh?
No, sir. No, I'm closer to Youngstown.
Oh, so what made you want to make that move to Ohio in the first place?
Family. And, you know, everybody has a little bit of something going on. I actually had one, and it moved me down this way. But, you know, I love it out here. I have no problems. I'm living in, like, a farm area, which is awesome, by the way, because I grew up in a more suburb and then very close to Detroit. So it's complete, like, culture shock the first time you get here. But then after a while, you start figuring out, like, I can't get to the grocery store unless I'm driving 20 minutes. So it's completely different. Like, they don't know what they talk about, like, food. I think it's like, I don't know what they call it, but, you know, them places where they have no grocery stores within
minutes. It's a food desert, like, yeah.
Yes, yes, and I live in one of those.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into it here. I want you to take me back to the beginning of your career, or maybe even before you started rapping. We all know you're from Michigan, and I want to know, who were the other acts and artists, performers, coming up in your era when you first started to kick it off and get it going?
You know, ICP, Esham, Twisted, they were actually House of Crazies at the time. There was just a, man, it was a massive, like, it seemed like a massive movement of underground performers, underground rappers, underground musicians, just doing it. Kid Rock was doing his thing. It was a lot of people that were doing it around the area, kind of caught on, just listening to what was going on and getting involved through that, you know?
You know, you mentioned Kid Rock, and it seems like on this show anyway, whenever he's mentioned, he's sort of a polarizing figure, you know? So with that said, do you have any thoughts on Kid Rock or any stories about him you care to share with us before we move on?
The first time I met him was, we were actually all doing the same thing, like out promoting records. And I'm much younger than he is, but I met him out promoting records. So it's like, that's how you know motherfuckers been in the game and doing things a long time. Like, he's been doing this for a long ass time. But before that, like, my brother's a few years older than me, and he used to come out and party in Mount Clemens. That's one of his first spots where he would be out there. So that's when I first heard about him. And my brother's like 4 or 5 years older than me. He used to go to parties, and he would be one of the dudes helping him carry the records in and helping him get set up and wherever he was doing his thing back in the day. And this is like years ago. So I never met him then, but, you know, so I heard stories about him then from my brother. And then years later, like I said, I met him when I was promoting records. He was out promoting something. I think it was Cold Stone Pimp. I think it was that era, like right after, like later on in time, running down later, finding out, you know, Uncle Cracker, that he's from the same area.
That's right.
I'm at. I think his pops owned a gas station that was down the street from where I actually grew up, probably like down the street from my high school. I've seen him and knew him about him in the area, but never met him either because he's a couple years older. It's like, yeah, it's just how shit is out there, man. You don't really meet nobody out there unless you're at partying with people. I think I was just like 3 years younger than the party scene, for real. Crazy as fuck, man. It's how wild it is.
Now, I had read that before you even released your debut EP, I believe, you were, quote, a company man within Psychopathic Records, doing office errands or anything they asked you to do for a few years leading up to One Less G in the Hood, your debut album. What was the biggest thing you learned in that time, Blaze?
Oh, man, just all the backgrounds of what it took to make music and what it was. Like, I would try to slowly, like, try to learn everything, because, like, I told everybody, I was very green. Even when it came into the studio scene, like, I was doing music before I came to Psychopathic, but it was like basement music. We were in the basement at ROC's house, rapping into a microphone that was in a closet damn near, and we were doing this shit, and we had, you know, this is how we learned, and we came up from that. And we also were doing studio time, where you were paying studio time at one of the studios out there called The Discs, which is still in existence right now, doing their thing. But yeah, we started there, and that's kind of what it was. So when you got out there, it was like more of a learning curve, like really trying to pick up on what everybody else knew. But at the time, I didn't understand that they were just kind of learning too. Like, everybody's in the same shit. Like, you don't figure this out till later on. But it's like, yeah, they were just like new to it as well. So, you know, almost when Twisted jumped down with them and did their nationwide tour, I think it was Malenko, it was like one of their first nationwide tours, like doing stuff like that, like bus wise. And, you know, so I didn't know nothing about that. So, like I said, I just try to learn everything, every single part of the business, like from what it took to making the merchandise, calling the stores and slanging it to them, because it's a whole different scenario of what it was back then. Mm-hmm. But back then you had booklets and you had to call up a store and talk to the people, you know, like I am right now, me and you, and, you know, sell your product and tell them about what you got, your band. And I felt like I did okay at that. I really did. I tried to go out there and slang, you know, ICP and Twisted as the greatest thing you ain't never heard in your life. And, you know, I felt like I did my best at that, for real.
And I know in previous interviews you've mentioned, Blaze, that you grew up on West Coast gangster rap and then some Houston in the mix as well. And for me, that influence was apparent on your first full-length album, One Less G in the Hood. As a matter of fact, I want to get your opinion on this. In terms of the structure, the album reminded me of Mr. Scarface is Back, you know? You got these hard songs with a couple of sex-type nasty cuts throughout. Do you think that's a fair comparison? And specifically, what influences were you drawing from when making that album?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I was really, like, everything to me at the beginning, like I said, was mostly that. It was mostly, like, some NWA, a little bit of Ghetto Boys. And then I also got into a lot of different stuff from, you know, I got into rap at the beginning stages or the early stages, and what I would consider the early stages for me, you know what I mean, was, you know, the beginning of everything where people were, where it was actually getting to be pushed out into the mainstream. So, yeah, it was crazy as hell. D-Nice, like a lot of crazy shit like that, where I go back further, you know what I mean, and the stuff that I listened to. Because I wasn't just a West Coast head. Like, I listened to a lot of East Coast shit, too. Obviously, LL Cool J. I mean, I'm bad. Like, a lot of shit. I remember a lot of different things and material that was out there. But, like, the minute that NWA, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, shit like that hit, MC Ren, like, all that shit hit, it was like, you know, that was kapow in my neighborhood. Like, oh, shit, you know, it's brand new, the brand new funk. And, you know, like I said, I really stretch it because I love the DOC, too. Like, brilliant. That dude, like, his album was the shit to me. So, yeah, I mean, whenever it was, I was trying to recreate, just create my own, but maybe with some of their influences involved in there, I guess.
Blaze, your dead homie, is my guest today on Massacre Radio. Okay, so after your first album, you came out with your second album, Colton Grundy, The Undying. What was behind the decision to go with the whole Colton Grundy moniker and not continue on strictly as Blaze, your dead homie?
I mean, it was part of it was trying to explore different avenues of the character. Like, I had an idea to split the character in three, and it was like going from Blaze, Colton Grundy, Solomon Grundy, and there was like, so it was like a trilogy of characters, and Blaze was supposed to be the present, Solomon was the past, and Colton was the future. And kind of at the time, it was like when we started doing the record, Colton Grundy kind of was like a hip hop. It was more, let's experiment a little bit more hip hop and less gangster, and, you know, and see what we can do, but still keep it Blaze. And that's exactly what we did when we started recording that record.
Okay, so there's two tracks on Colton Grundy that feature friend of the show, Isham. I think it's safe to say he's a friend of the show anyway. Just real quick, talk about your relationship with him and what it's like having a working professional relationship with a true pioneer like Isham.
I mean, it was dope. Like, me and him have never really had problems. Been out touring a few different times. Obviously, he's a legend in East Detroit. He's a legend in Detroit in general. And yeah, it was just cool as hell to, you know, get to actually work with him on a track. And yeah, I've definitely listened to his stuff coming up. And, you know, just as much as I've listened to ICP, I probably listened to Isham more. And but yeah, it's like it was just cool as fuck to get to work with him for once. And not once, but twice. You know what I mean? It was just cool shit.
Speaking of collaborating, you've done a lot throughout the years, and I know at least with the early Dark Lotus stuff, you'd all be in the studio together, coming up with stuff, you know, rhymes, themes, all that. But back in the day, in those times, did it ever get competitive between you guys in the studio when you were collaborating like that?
Man, it's tough to say, like, competitive. I would say yes, but I don't know exactly how you would say that. I mean, it's like everybody's trying to write the rhymes and bust off in the studio is kind of what it was. It was like either like a race to get in there, but me being more perfectionist style. I mean, I think that's what I would call myself. I'm trying, because it does take me a little bit of time to put things out, because I do take my time. I don't like to push shit out like, oh, here's the record and just throw it out there to you. It's like I really like to take my time and think about what I'm putting out and pushing out to the public and everybody to hear. So it's like when I was writing, even then, that's what I was saying. When I at the time of Dark Lotus, the beginning, I was so green that I would take my time and I would rewrite things. I would write it, then I would write it twice, then I would write it three times, and then I would go in there. So if you listen to a lot of Dark Lotus, I would be close to the end of a lot of verses because I'm definitely taking my time to make sure my shit is like Trump tight to, you know, to be done out there for everybody. So like I said, I was with a bunch of pros that have been doing it for years at that time. So that was just my introduction with everybody else. Like, so I just definitely wanted to make sure my shit was there.
Of course, you've released a few more albums after Colton Grundy, but the biggest one I wanted to ask you about, which is my personal favorite outside of One Less G in the Hood, is Drive-By Pony Down Prelude. I kind of like the straightforward approach of the old school throwback loud vibe with the kick and bass, you know. It took me totally by surprise. It was refreshing. And I wanted to ask you, the question here is, why can't that formula be successful these days, do you think? Or can it?
I don't know, man. I think it's tough because, like I said, when we first started doing it, it was mostly my idea was to gear it a little bit towards like DJ Magic Mike. I wanted that bass stuff that was like, you know, because I grew up listening to that too. You know what I mean? That was like the movement. Everybody had, if you have speakers, you have rims, you have something going on with your ride, you were kind of a buster, you know what I'm saying? So it's like everybody had something. So, you know, I had my own shit in my car too. So it's like you were trying to bump like loud and have your shit rattling. And that's the first vibe of what we were talking about. I mean, originally, like I said, originally when we had concocted the group Drive-By, it was originally supposed to be me, Killa, and Twisted. And that was how we originally had concocted the group. But Twisted was on the road at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was there with the clowns. And they were like, hey, you ain't doing nothing. Why don't y'all do this group and let's do this? And, you know, so that's where it kind of the vibe went from there. And I told them, I was like, that's kind of my idea was to be something bass. You know what I mean? So much so that, you know, it's rattling your shit. And that's kind of where I went with when we were doing rhymes. You know?
Oh, so they kind of came at you with the concept and the idea for Drive-By first. And you were like, yeah, I've kind of been thinking about that, too. Let's go ahead and do that.
Well, we were doing, like I said, they had basically said that hey, you and Killa need to do kind of a group thing. And they were like, they suggested, why don't you guys, we keep hearing you guys holler Drive-By all the time. And they were like, how about you guys do that? And we're like, well, really, that was originally us and Twisted. And they were like, well, Twisted's on the road. So they're like, why don't y'all just do that? And that's kind of what it, yeah, it's kind of how it started. And it stemmed from there. And I was actually, I said I was recording other music first because I took a couple of those tracks from there and refashioned them and we made them Drive-By tracks.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm just going to go ahead and ask you about your voice. You know, it's unique, I'd say, in general, much less within the rap genre. What's the secret sauce, so to speak, to cultivating and crafting a voice like that? Is it strictly smoking or what's the case there? What else goes into it? I mean, it's very powerful, you know?
I don't know, man. I'm telling you, I think I was born with it as part of it. And yeah, I mean, it could have been smoking. I did for many years. I quit years ago, shit, over almost 11 years ago. I quit smoking cigarettes. I still smoke weed.
Yes.
I mean, I told you that in the beginning. We talked about this.
Yes.
I'm still smoking weed. So I can't drop that. But I have quit smoking cigarettes a long time ago. I don't vape like that at all either, any nicotine shit anymore. Yeah, it's just kind of like stuff. That's what it was. I grew up, my beginning, like, is my first introduction to music. It's like choirs and things. And I remember being able to be like a bass and a tenor and move all the way to like an alto, but I could never quite hit soprano. But now I think I'm more like bass general. I'm pretty close to strictly bass.
We're going to take a brief time out here on Massacre Radio and be back with more from my guest, Blaze Ya Dead Homie, after this. Yeah, honey, I'm fine. It's just the tire that got messed up. But luckily, the tow truck driver just got here, so I'll talk to you soon. Okay, I love you too. Bye.
I got called back to the highway. Some Yankee blew his tire out. No, I didn't forget. I gotta go, okay? Look, I'll be there. Bye. Hey, buddy, you can go sit up in the cab and ride with me if you'd like. Just have to chain this up. Just hang tight.
Hey, man, thanks again for the lift. You don't mind if I pop in this cassette for the drive, do you?
You know, normally I'd say no, but you're lucky I'm in a good mood. Go ahead and pop it in. Better not be any of that rap crap. Hey, what the hell did I just tell you? My truck, my rules. And in my truck, we don't listen to rap.
Okay, okay, fine. You're right. Your truck, your rules. Well, what would you like to listen to then?
Talk radio. Matter of fact, my favorite program's on right now. This guy's great. A little out there sometimes, kind of weird, but you know what? He's good.
You know what? This guy sounds familiar. I might have heard him somewhere before.
I love it, but my wife can't stand it. But hey, no skin off my ass. Doesn't matter if it's talk radio or me forgetting our anniversary. She's always going to find a reason to bitch. Say, you don't have a girlfriend or a wife or anything like that, do you?
Oh, no. Me? No. No, of course not. No.
Good. It's not worth it. All they ever do is bitch, moan, complain. Trust me, you're better off without one. All you need is some open road, some talk radio. Ah, yeah. The way the good Lord drew it up.
At the end, it's like a hallucination with a man.
Massacre Radio.
I'd love to remember if Jesus fucks him or he fucks Jesus, but I can't.
We're back. You're listening to Massacre Radio on WKMA Cleveland and HD2 Station. My guest today is Blaze, your dead homie. Blaze, I kind of want to shift gears here and ask you about the film Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, because I don't recall which release of yours it was off the top of my head, but you had sampled some lines from at least one of those two films. Now, my question here is, back in 2006, I actually went to a midnight screening of The Evil Dead, and the theater was packed. I mean packed with juggalos, and they loved every bit of the film, and they were shouting things at the screen even. In your estimation, what is it about those two films in particular, at least to you, that seems to resonate with not only yourself, but a large majority of the fan base?
I mean, to me, I'm say personally, the film Evil Dead 1 and 2 are my introduction into horror. So that's for me personally. Like, my first films that I remember watching, or even Madrox being like, hey, you got to see this one. And yeah, because I really didn't see much horror until I was, you know, hanging out with him. Mm-hmm. It was much later. I was probably like 18 years old, and he's like, you got to check out this shit. And I swear, yeah, it was like Evil Dead 1 and 2 were the first two that I ever watched. So I felt like, yeah, it was my shit. I remember going back even older, like my first shit that we did, I was doing stuff with another dude way back in the day, and one of our first tracks were like called We're Gonna Get You, because it was that. Uh-huh. Or The Cellar, because it was about that. It was like everything's about Evil Dead. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even sampling that, we're gonna get you, not another beat, time to go to sleep. You're like, damn. Yeah, so it was like, it was just huge influences to us and to me in general at that point. And yeah, so I don't know. It's like, I think other people see it the same way. It's a lot of fun. And it's like Bruce Campbell in general. And, you know, just everybody that was working on that shit in general was just cool. And I watched the updated one, and that was fucking awesome too. Like, the series, I fucking loved it. It was mm-hmm. very fun. And that's what it is. It's the campy humor that they go through. And it's like, some of it's, you know, far, and you're like, oh, that, I don't like that. But most of it is a lot of fun, and that's kind of what it is.
So as you know, this radio program is based out of Cleveland, Ohio, home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Blaze. I'd like to get your take on non-rock artists, and specifically rappers and rap groups, being inducted into the Rock Hall, okay? I mean, already they have DJ Kool Herc, Eminem, Public Enemy, among others, and later this year, A Tribe Called Quest will be inducted. What are your thoughts on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducting rap and hip-hop artists, Blaze?
I mean, it's cool. I think it's cool. It's cool. It's long overdue. They obviously, they're part of music. And if you go in there, I've been there because I told you I've lived out in the area. I've been there now. And I've been through the many halls of the areas and the many levels they have up there. And they have so many different genres of music in there. So it's only right that they do involve hip hop or rap or some sort of some form. I really believe that they should have one of their own. There should be some sort of hip-hop Hall of Fame, and it should have all genres of that, too, because even the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame isn't going to branch out to all genres of the fucking different things of hip-hop. They don't, you know, and most places don't, and that's kind of what it is, because there's so many different genres. There's so many different people doing different things, and you got to recognize it all or just don't, you know what I mean? What it is you either have to recognize it all or you don't recognize any of it. That's what I meant to say.
Okay, so based off that, I'm just going to come out and ask you, do you think the Insane Clown Posse should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I mean, I'm not sure yet, but possibly. It's like right now, it's like if they're going off of rap alone, it's like they just inducted Eminem and Tribe Called Quest. I think they're going to have to wait their turn, man. It's like it's not, they're not really, you know, at that point of all the people that they haven't rooted and put in there yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at one point in time, yeah, it's like, why wouldn't they be? If that's what we're talking about, putting all forms of different types of the genre in there, then 100%.
I could not agree more. I mean, they put Cher in the Rock Hall, for Christ's sake. Dave Matthews Band, even.
Well, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's like, it's, you know, it's cool that they do that, but it's like, in some aspect, that's why you shouldn't have never just labeled yourself the Rock Hall of Fame. You should have just been the Music mm-hmm. Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. you know? Because really, that's what it is, because that's what you have to be. And but there's so many genres, and that's what they base their first thing on, is rock. And when I went there, it was a few years ago, and they had the Pink Floyd stuff up there, and it was still just as cool, because I was like, wow, you get to walk through and see the set pieces that Pink Floyd used to roll through when they were on tour. That's some cool shit.
Blaze, Ya Dead Homie, is my guest today on Massacre Radio. So what does it mean to you, Blaze, to have made rap and hip-hop your career for the last 25-plus years? I mean, you've been doing it consistently ever since you started. What does it mean to have such longevity in a genre that chews people up and spits them out as fast as they can get in?
Man, I'm telling you, I'm just blessed. I'm like, I'm thankful for everybody that's ever listened to my stuff and passing on to somebody else to listen to it. And, you know, I'm just blessed to be able to do this. When I first started, I didn't think I would, you know, wasn't sure even to where I brought my peoples, like my parents and people, my family, to see me at a show in Royal Oak. And they seen people out there rocking and listening to my shit. And they were like, wow, he actually has people that are like fans. So it was eye-opening to them. So, you know, it was like the whole time I never knew that this is what I was going to do. And I was just, I'm blessed and thankful to be able to do this. And, you know, every chance I get, I'm going to keep trying to do and bless up to the next people too.
So at this point in your career, how do you look to continue to develop the character Blaze Ya Dead Homie and still keep true to Blaze and who he is?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, you know, in the beginning, I think it was tougher. It's like, as you grow, you start gaining a little more wisdom. When I was in my younger days of being Blaze, it seemed like I was very, I had to make sure everything was, I had to go back. That's what I said, like, I was rewriting rhymes. Because everything had to be from a perspective of being a dead body. So any song that I was written and wrote that way was from that way. And, you know, as I aged up, I started, you know, realizing that, you know, times change. You just got to make music that makes you happy. Hope that it makes everybody else happy, too. And that's kind of what it is now.
Blaze, I know you have a show coming up here in the Cleveland area, so what can the people expect when they come to the show? Are you going to be playing any new stuff by chance?
I'm telling you, when I've been out there lately, I've been trying to mix up a little bit of everything, putting in a few new tracks, and mixing a little bit of old. I actually was told by a guy the other day when I was out in Worcester, he said, you know, I was very surprised, Blaze. This is the first time I've seen you, and I really thought I was going to see everything brand new. And then you started playing a bunch of tracks that I ain't never heard in my life. So, yeah, I just try to keep people on their toes. And I'm trying to flip it around and change it each time, because that's one thing that I think that I've been blessed to have this kind of weird, like, I don't know if it's the memory or whatever it is. And so it helps me to just go back and just say, hey, now I'm back, I can get this track, let's do this one. And yeah, it's been like that forever. And thankfully, smoking weed hasn't killed that yet. But I think it's my musical memory, whatever the fuck it is. Because I mean, I grew up knowing how to listen to somebody else's shit and learning that. And as I slowly kind of learning my own shit and just going there.
By the way, that show in Cleveland is at the Asylum at Masonic Temple. The address is 3615 Euclid Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio, and that's going to be on May the 13th. Be sure to get your tickets now. I'm sure there's not many left, so get them while you can. I will definitely be there.
How close is that to Great Lakes Brewing Company? That's all I got to know.
It is about a 9-minute drive. Very, very close. Well, since you're such a big fan, I got to ask you, what's your favorite Great Lakes brew blaze?
Oh, Christmas Ale, no doubt. But I do like Bibelicious because you can get it all year round. But Christmas Ale is no doubt my favorite Great Lakes ale. Great Lakes Brewing Company beer Christmas Ale. Yeah, I've actually been out there for Christmas in July for the Tigers and Guardians. Yes. And I did not make it to my feet because I was drinking nothing but Christmas Ale. This is the true story.
And since you live so close now, do you have any plans on attending the tapping of the Christmas Ale keg coming up in, what, late October, early November, it seems? It's like anymore these days, they do it earlier and earlier, you know?
I have been close to getting there. And usually the weather has been kept me away. But if I'm home this year, I'm going to try to get out there. Because I'm telling you, it's like, yeah, that definitely is my favorite beer. I go out and grab cases, bring them home, and save them. I think I'm actually right now, I'm in the process of working on getting a kegerator at the crib so I can actually get myself a keg of Christmas Ale next time they tap it and I have that stuff at home. Yeah, for real. I got a problem, David.
Well, I mean, it is that good. And if people don't know by now, they have been missing out. It's totally on them. It's never too late to come around, you know?
Yep, they don't know.
So before we wrap this up, where can people find you at online if they'd like to connect with you on your socials? Go ahead and give them a plug.
I'm at BlazeYourDead1, the number one on Instagram. And I am Blaze Your Dead Homie on your Facebook pages. It's basically the two that I'm messing with right now. But I am on X, aka Twitter, and I got a few different socials. I'm trying to work on my Twitch right now because I was doing a lot of stuff on my Facebook page, a lot of Brews with Blaze, which is basically like a 10-15 minute check-in with me, drinking a beer and talking some shit with people on Mondays. But I have since stopped that for a moment because I'm going to rework that and maybe go into Twitch or work on, you know, a different day on Facebook. You know, get everybody involved. I like to talk to people and see what the hell is going on. I am on YouTube, too, but I haven't done much on there lately, but I will be back on there. But I'm also Blaze Your Dead Homie on YouTube as well. So I'm all over the damn place. I'm either Blaze Your Dead One or Blaze Your Dead Homie. And people are pretending to be me everywhere. So if you get a message and they say they're me, it's probably not me. So hit me up.
Yeah, make sure you verify that first. Yeah.
For real. Verify your shit. That's real. That's honest to God. I will never ask you for money on a fucking Facebook raid.
Oh, yeah.
Shit, okay?
None of those scams or nothing like that.
Right. Please. Please.
Real quick, you mentioned that you might be performing some new tracks at the Cleveland show. Can the fans expect a new album or a new release sometime soon, perhaps, maybe?
Oh, I'm working on some right now. I've been talking to them about it. The album is titled Dead Serious. I don't have a date right now because I have plainly told everybody the same thing. Like, I am semi-perfectionist in this, and I take my time to make sure it's the perfect thing before I put it out. And I will not give you a date until I turn it in to the company at Magic Ninja Entertainment. So as soon as I turn it in, and it's about 90% done right now. It's actually 95% done. I got a few beats that I'm sitting on waiting on somebody to remix, and I'm going to be turning it in pretty soon. And yeah, you'll get a date and you'll be fucking ready to know. So keep checking my socials and then I'll fucking let you know first.
Hey, absolutely. That's something to look forward to. I don't want to press my luck here, but when you're in town and you want to get a brew at Great Lakes, I'm all about it. I'm just saying, Blaze. I'm just saying.
Yeah, David, I'm going to hit you up, man.
Blaze, your dead homie, has been my guest today on Massacre Radio. Hey, Blaze, thanks again for your time. We are all looking forward to your performance at the Asylum at the Masonic Temple live on May 13th. Go buy your tickets now. I will definitely see you there. Thanks again, and I hope to see you, man.
All right, for sure, man. Hope to see you there. Much love, everybody. Thank you.
Massacre Radio.
Hey, thanks again to my guest, Blaze, you dead homie. And don't forget, if you are in fact in the Cleveland or surrounding areas, Blaze is performing at the Asylum at Masonic Temple. Once again, that's located at 3615 Euclid Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio, of course. And that show is on May the 13th, according to my Garfield calendar right here. Be sure to get your tickets now while they are still available. That show is going to be huge. Hey, that about does it for this installment of Massacre Radio. We're back again next week, same time, same place. So until then, as always, I've been your host, Members Only Dave, and I'll talk at you next week.